I know that our brother Jay has prepared a message for us this night. I ask that each one of us would open our hearts and our minds to those words that he has for us. I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother and apostle, Jay Moser.
Seems like I never really have the time to do all the things I would like to do, and I'm always preparing for something, and then I can't do what I would really like to do, maybe visit with somebody or do something. I'm always doing something, and I hope that the things that I do are important. I'd like to talk to you about the important things of life tonight. First, I want to make this statement in regard to our future, that Christ is the future. He is the future. And it's very important for all of us to be followers of Christ, because he is the one that will go to the last. He's the one that's going to make it to the end. He's the one that's going to be victorious. Those who follow some other path, they will not be victorious. And their future is not good. But it's difficult sometimes to look around us. Here, a little while back, our pastor, he preached a couple of sermons one Sunday morning or evening, I can't remember which one it was, but about, and he mentioned in his first sermon about, you know, all the things that are happening in the world, everything that's mounting up. And I have to admit, it really gets kind of heavy for me, you know, it really does. I can get worked up real quick over the things that are taking place in around me, the things that are taking place in the country. I have very strong political views, none of which I would care to share, because I don't think that's really sharing the gospel, because I know there's no political party that is going to make it to the end. Every party, every person will be subject to Christ. But in this day, you're either going to be faithful unto the end, or you're going to do what the scriptures call in many instances, you're going to faint, which, you know, that word, it's kind of deceptive. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to faint. You're going to fall over because you pass out because there's no blood going to your head, but you're going to faint. And that word has a very special meaning in the scriptures. It's repeated over and over, fainting, giving up, or actually it means to become weak, to fail. And maybe I think the most important meaning of that word is to get weary, to just get worn out, tired of the press of life, or tired of the battle that we have every day. And so we're being tested every day by our adversary. I have a scripture I would like to read in beginning. It's scripture, one verse. I kind of like it. It'd make a good theme verse. It's found in 1 Nephi chapter 5. Verse 78. And here the Lord was speaking to Nephi. And in verse 78, it says this: I will prepare the way before you, if it so be that you shall keep my commandments. I will prepare the way before you, if it so be that you shall keep my commandments. This particular verse of scripture was when Nephi was beginning to build his ship, and he had already been through so many things, and he was struggling, and he still had to go across the water. He still had to get that ship prepared, and he had to convince his brothers to help him, and he had all these things to fight. He had all these things to try, and it must have, he exclaimed in one place, you know, remember that story or that place, it was kind of like Nephi's psalm when he exclaimed, you know, oh, what a wretched man I am, and so on and so forth. When all these things, they just got the best of him. He had been plotted against. They tried to kill him over time, and he just felt at times as though he had enough, but he realized, as it says, whom he really believed in, and that God had been with him. But the promise is, And I believe this is a promise that is to everyone, that God prepares a way before us if we will keep His commandments. He prepares a way for us if we keep His commandments. We have to keep in mind, you know, I don't believe that, you know, the most dangerous thing that I believe that we have to fear is sin, is your own personal sin. And it doesn't really have to be, it doesn't even, may not even appear to be that big. It may be something that may appear kind of small. And I have an illustration a little later in one of the scriptures that used an example of something that really to us would have appeared just, what difference does that make, you know? But it was something that was extremely important between a man and God, something he had done against him. So now I want to go to the book of Luke. If you would turn to the book of Luke and to chapter 21, it's something that we need to keep in mind when we're trying to endure and to continue on and to keep from becoming weary. We have to keep faith in the Word of God. And this verse, I want to read in chapter 21 of Luke, verse 33. The words of Christ as He was warning His disciples and us today. He was warning His disciples about the day they were living in. Some of them, as has been mentioned before, they thought they were living in the day when Christ was going to come back. I don't know if that's true. It sounds like it, but I'm not completely convinced that it's true. But there was something that was going to happen to Israel at that time. Israel was going to be cast down completely and scattered among the nations for 2,000 years. There was an end of something coming to Israel, most definitely in Israel. And they were, and He warned them about that. And He told them. And interestingly enough, a lot of historians believe that the gospel, by the time Jerusalem fell in 70 AD, that it had been to a large percentage of the Western world, clear up into Britain, maybe as far as India. By that time, it had appeared there. And so it had been very busy trying to take that gospel around the world. But it says in verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We need to have faith in that statement, that whatever happens, God's word will not pass away. We need to gauge our life and our decisions by God's word and try and separate ourselves from things in the world that are actually against it, that go against God's word. And it's interesting, in so many ways we can do that. But you need to be aware of what God's word says. And of course, we always preach and teach that we should study to know what God's word says. So you'll know when you hear something, when you see something, you know, it doesn't sound right to me. I need to be careful. You should have a warning voice sounding in your head probably every day of your life. Be careful at this point. This is not right. And that should happen to you every day of your life. And this is the kind of day we live in. The greatest fear that we should have is the fear that we'll enter into sin. But let's back up in this. A warning about the day that we live in chapter 21 of Luke, verse 25 and 26. The words of Jesus Christ in these two verses. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity. And that certainly describes our day, and it has for a long time. Perplexity among the nations. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, there's some prophecies about the last days that God, one more time, He's going to shake the earth, the foundations of the earth, the governments, the peoples of the world, the institutions of the world. He's going to shake them. He's going to shake heaven as well. And why? Because to see what will stand. Will heaven stand or will earth stand? And heaven will stand. And the things of the earth will not. And all those things that are built upon sandy foundations, every single one shall fall. It doesn't matter if your closest relative is founded upon those things. If your most beloved person in your family, if they're founded upon sand, they shall fall. And you cannot drag them out of those things unless they're willing to help some, to help a little bit along the way. Now, you know, when I like to go up North Mountain. I used to like to go up Squaw Peak all the time. But I don't do that because, you know, there's so many rocks on Squaw Peak. I've done it once since I broke my heel. But it's hard. You know, you come along and you twist your ankle on something, and it's not like it used to be. And now, you know, you guys that have got hurt backs this week, every little thing you do, you know, oops, I can't do that. I can't pick up the piece of paper. I can't bend. You know, everything you do. It's the same thing with my broken foot. A little pebble on a flat piece of ground, and I think I'm going to die. I hit that thing, and it hurts so bad, and it twists just a slight bit. And so we have to be careful, more careful in this day that we live in for everything. Know where you're going, where you're walking, what you're doing. Now jump down upon to verse 35 and verse 36. The last words that Jesus talked about this day, it says, for as a snare, a trap, that's the day we live in. It is a trap. And who needs to worry? Shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth? There is no exception. It's a trap for you. It's a trap for everyone. Unless, it says in verse 36, this commandment is kept. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray. But if you get tired, if you get weary, if you faint, like the Scripture says, you're not going to be ready. You're going to be trapped. You're going to be caught in this snare. It is upon us. These snares of life, and it's always been true of the traps of our adversary. They've always been there. Now, interestingly enough, if you go to the next chapter, after all these warnings, and he was trying to, the Lord was, he was warning them about the last day, but he's also telling those disciples about what's coming in your lifetime, telling them. And Peter, he makes this statement over here in chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. Let's read what says, what the Lord said. Now, Peter, you know, told him, you know, he's able to handle it. But let's look at this, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, interestingly enough, do you suppose the Lord commanded them to watch and pray lest they enter into temptation? Now, it's true that they did not have the Holy Spirit as an abiding comforter. You know, the Lord was with them, the Spirit was working with them, but it wasn't as an abiding comforter. And when they got that, Peter was able to keep from denying the Lord. And according to history, he died then for him. But if he had done exactly what the Lord told him, what was he? Was the Lord not telling him the truth? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I believe he was telling him the truth, that he may not have entered into that sin and denied him if he had been watching and praying and continuously aware of what was going on around him and not getting tired, worn out by the day and the time and the life. And what kind of things wear you out? Well, you know, your job can wear you out. Your relationships with the people in the world, problems at school, losing a job. All these things can wear us out. Difficulties with family and friends. We've got to be followers of Christ. And he gave us that example that he went through all of those things and more, far more than we could ever do, as we were reminded today in our sacrament. service. I want to go to a scripture that I think just seems to be fit for this sermon that I'm preaching this evening. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. First, in chapter 12, I want to go to the last verse in chapter 12. One of the reasons why, you know, people are fearful, and one of the reasons why sometimes Christians are so fearful, this last verse of chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews makes this statement: for our God is a consuming fire. You know, sometimes we fear what's transpiring, you know, what's going to happen, because we know that the wrath of God, His vengeance, we're living in a time when God's going to prove to the world that He's real. And it's kind of I don't necessarily like that verse, you know. But really, the author here is telling, just going back through scriptures and talking about what God has done. He's a consuming fire. He burns and cleanses, and He proves us. He tests us. And this day that we live in is definitely a test of our faith. But now let's back up and look at some of the things that he's talking about in this chapter. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 12. I like this. It just kind of stuck out as I was reading this and studying about this sermon. Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know, we get tired. We just get worn out with and worry sometimes, and I do. If I don't seek God and find His strength, you know, I find myself this week being very serious-minded. My wife's asking me, you know, what's wrong? Well, I'm really serious-minded about things that are going on in this world. Because I know life is going to change. Well, let's look at this. You know, remember I told you about my trip going up North Mountain. I go up North Mountain, and why do I go up North Mountain? If you've been there, you know why. It's paved all the way. You know, blacktop all the way. You know, you can stop at that little parking lot, and you go all the way up there, and you come all the way back on blacktop. If you go to any of the other mountains around, it's not like that. And one little stone can get me in trouble. But here it says, verse 13, make straight paths for your feet. Don't take chances with your soul. Make a straight path, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, you've got to give yourself a chance. You can't just go back into the world and go do the same things that you've always done. You have to make some real modifications in our lives. We have to do that. You have to change something. You can't just go on the merry-go-round forever and ever and ever. You've got to get off somewhere along the line and make some change. Straighten out your path. Watch out for that thing you've been tripping on and stumbling on, because you're already lame. You're already hurt by the sin. Verse 14, follow peace with all men. You know, that's pretty hard to do. It's very hard to do. I know a lot of people. I've met a lot of people in my life. I don't like to be around them. I don't want to be with them. But it says, follow peace with all men. It's something different. It's a different way of walking, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, you can't, it won't be a happy occasion when you meet the Lord. You'll be hiding your eyes unless you have taken upon you holiness. That you've tried to live your life as best you know how, and you've tried to keep the commandments. Then you'll be able to look at Him and see Him. But otherwise, you'll be trying to hide your eyes from Him. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, what in the world is that talking about? You know, I think we need to think about that for just a minute. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You know, there's my wife, we were talking this morning and trying to determine what it meant, you know, in the scriptures when they tell us, husbands, you know, be not bitter against your wives. And the more we looked at it, the more I looked at it, the more I realized it wasn't just some emotion. It was something you're doing these bitter things. And who is it when she was down in public records and dispatching all these records to people, who is it for a large portion of these records that get dispatched for court cases are about men abusing their wives? There's a huge portion of it. Why? Because they're acting out their bitterness. They act it out. It's a natural thing. They act it out, and it's wrong to act out. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know what's amazing? You listen, you watch these, I have to admit, I like watching those reality cop shows. I admit it. I watch them, and you watch these guys, and you find these guys that they finally have to arrest. They won't shut up. They will not let it go. And so the police have to arrest them. And they get mad and they keep coming back and they want to go back to their antagonist or their protagonist or whoever it is that you know, and they go after them. They won't stop. They won't stop. And what you have to do and you think, well, would that really change your life? That one day, that one moment? And it can. That one moment could change your life forever. Just as Esau, who sold his birthright for one bowl of food. You know, that was the example that I had, you know, of someone just for one small thing. I wouldn't begrudge anybody a bowl of beans for anything, you know. But the very fact that he was willing to sell his birthright, just that fact. Don't give up your rights and your privileges with God for any reason, not for anything. Verse 17, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You couldn't repent it. You already sold it. You gave it away. And you know, that's the sad thing about a lot of sin. You can repent of any kind of sin and be accepted to God, but you may lose some special privilege, some wonderful thing that God had originally bestowed and given to you, some wonderful thing. I'm thankful that we do live in a time and in an age since the coming of Christ when so many sins can be washed away. But let's read about this consuming fire of God. In verse 18, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Oh, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. No, that's not the God we're going to see. You know, we can think about that. You know, with this terrible being that they went to, he was trying to show this nation his power and his might. But something transpired with the coming of Christ. And if you go on, it says here in verse 22, but ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. We have this wonderful privilege that at any time in your life, you can turn back. You can go back to God. You have that right to go back, to be received by Him once again. But if you enter in and if you're not watchful and careful in the day that we live in, you're going to miss. And the greatest thing, the greatest problem we have today is not whether we're going to have enough food tomorrow, whether we're going to have enough money to pay for the electricity of this church. The greatest thing we have to fear is that we might enter into some sin. That is the greatest thing that we have to fear. Because it can put us on a road that people don't come back from very easily. It's very difficult because of our pride for people to come back. Verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And now we can't turn away from God who is now speaking from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, telling us that everything else is going to be shaken but God's kingdom. Everything. And the only thing that will remain is God's kingdom in the end. Turn to Him with all your heart and watch, be watchful and prayerful. All the things we worry about, all the things we're concerned about, so many of them may be the things that are not going to be there in the end. They won't be there. But this is the warning we have. A day in which we live, once more, God is going to shake everything, absolutely everything. And only He will remain, and those who go with Him. And so as it says in verse 12, lift up your hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Don't be weary and tired of the struggle. Don't be weary in trying once again, I got to get along with this man, this woman, my cousin, my husband, whoever it is you're trying to learn to live in love with. Don't become weary. Don't push it out of your life as something just too heavy to do. But live in peace and in love. Let's go back, read a few scriptures, shorter ones now, about the gospel and about encouraging things. How often this theme is repeated over and over about the things we need to do. The kind of encouragement God is giving to us. Here in the 7th chapter of 2 Nephi, I want to read verse 40. After all these things that are working upon us, and all the pressures from outside, there's a very important thing that we have to always remember. And verse 40 says this, therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. You know, I've heard a lot of people in my life talk about how difficult it was to live in life. And how terrible things were, and how horrible things were. But the real truth was, in the end, they were terrible. They were horrible. They were difficult. That's a hard thing to face. So often, it's not, you know, this antagonist I have. It's really you. It's you're the person. You're the one. If you have difficulties on every hand, you're the one who is difficult. You're the one that's causing the problem. If everywhere you go, everything, life's terrible, all things are terrible, you have trouble with your boss, you have trouble with your family, everything, it's you most of the time. That's a terrible thing to have to face. And if you have a hard time and you just can't day in and day out, it's just so hard, it's because you aren't doing it. You aren't doing your part. And that's what we have to face in life. Don't be worn out. Don't be tired. Be strong. Don't become faint. In Mormon chapter 4, I'm in the wrong Mormon. And it doesn't look right. There it is. Mormon chapter 4, verse 93 and 94. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that you may consume it upon your lusts, but ask with the firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. You know, I have an advantage about difficult things. And my advantage is that I was a mechanic for so many years. One of the things I had to learn was 9 out of 10 jobs cannot be done and you be comfortable. You cannot be comfortable. Isn't that true? Most of the time, something hurts. You know that when you do this job, blood is going to flow. Somewhere on my body, blood is going to flow. I'm going to be bent over. I'm going to be out of sorts. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be weary. And there's no escape. And so sometimes, you know, you can't get a job, a difficult thing done because you keep trying to get comfortable. And so if I get behind underneath the hood somewhere and I'm trying to get comfortable, the job will never get done. It'll never happen. You're leaning over some fender and the hood ornament's grinding in your stomach or something like that. There's no way you're ever going to be comfortable doing that job. And so much of life is that way. You're not going to feel good doing what you're supposed to do until it's over. That's when you feel good often. And when you do what you need to do, after it's over, you feel some contentment for that day's activities alone. And then you got tomorrow to start all over again. You're never going to, if you're trying to get comfortable, you know, I've had people help me that obviously were not mechanics, you know, and they try to help me. And I say, well, hold this. And they're trying to get comfortable while they're doing it. You know, you will be done in 5 seconds if you'll be uncomfortable. And it's so true. You can't get comfortable and do this. You've got to be uncomfortable for the length of the job. That's just the way it is. And I believe that there's a spiritual equivalent in a lot of things. You have to be, you have to go through some difficulty. And sometimes crying out to God in prayer isn't always that easy. Sometimes it's kind of difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you'd rather be doing something else, something easier in life. Maybe you don't want to read the scriptures. There's a lot of things a lot easier than doing that. But you have to be uncomfortable to gain the victory, to gain, to finish a job, to learn how to do something the right way, and to get better at it next time. And if you get better at it, then it gets a little easier. You're not quite as uncomfortable once you get accustomed to the situation. You learn what tools you need. You learn how to face certain things. But there's no way. You can't avoid discomfort in a lot of things in life. You just have to go in there and face it. Well, okay. Going back to the Bible, to Luke again, chapter 18. I just love this first verse of Luke chapter 18. I don't know why. It always is one of those that I just remember. I thought. Apparently I've got the wrong one. But I remember the verse. I just don't remember where it's at. Let me look at, let's see if it's in. Try one. No, that's not it either. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. See, it happens to other people too, Andrew. You throw all these things on a piece of paper, and then you get one number wrong, and you're done for. But it says somewhere in the words of Jesus Christ that men ought to pray always and not faint. Don't get tired. Don't get worn out. Don't get weak. Where is that? Anybody know? What am I looking at? Luke 18, number 1? Where am I? Spake and said. Oh, yeah, it is there. It's not in red. That's why. I was looking for it. Thank you. It is there. I was right. All right. He spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So that was the editor's comment, or the person who wrote this. Okay, I was expecting words in red, and I just blew my mind. Okay, but I had it right. And men ought always to pray and not to faint. That word is repeated over and over, or something like it, like when he was talking about the last days in Luke and men's hearts failing them. You know, they're just getting weak and tired and worn out from these things. Second Nephi, again, we'll get something just almost exactly the same. Second Nephi, chapter 14. Verse 12. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. And the day we live in, this is the kind of thing we'd better be putting into practice every day. Every day when you guys go to work and you girls go to work, you should be praying. You should have, if it's a short prayer, that's fine, but you better be praying that you're going to be alert and awake to the things that are happening. And these things, they don't just happen, you know, boom, boom. Sometimes they sneak up on you. And all of a sudden, you make one decision and you made a terrible decision. But because, and some of you, when you work among the people in the world, I know as a mechanic, those guys bombarded me day and night, every moment. I don't think there was ever a moment when they weren't trying to tempt me. That's what they did, in one way or another. And so we must not faint in our prayers. Galatians chapter 6. And I want to read at least I'll read verses 8 through 10. Sixth chapter of Galatians. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption or death. That's what that means, the decaying away of your soul or your body. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Weariness in doing the right thing happens to people. It's the kind of thing that happens to us all the time. You get tired of doing it. What difference does it make? But it makes a difference in eternal life. And it can make a difference in the life of someone else. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And as time goes on, we're going to have more and more opportunities to do good unto people. 2 Thessalonians, one very similar, but I want to just drive this point home. Chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10 to verse 15. But the main one that I want to talk about is verse 13. It's just like the one, the last one we read. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know, there's an importance in everybody carrying their own weight. Carry your weight. Teach your kids to carry their own weight. Teach them that they have got to get in those uncomfortable positions to work. They've got to do it. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but as busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But if ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired of holding your job. Don't get tired of being good to other people. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Can't even just give up on people that are not doing the right thing. You've got to help them by admonishing them and giving them counsel. That's our job and our duty. You know, the day is going to come, and I'm wondering if we've reached that day. I have two more scriptures to read, to just rehearse to you, ones that we're well familiar with. In the book of Mosiah, chapter 13, the model for which we rely on in the Church of Christ and we rely upon in our national government, our local governments. And I'm going to read verses in chapter 13 of Mosiah, verse 34 to 38. And I'm sure someone else has already read this recently. And this was they're talking about choosing some judges so that they could judge the law properly among them to judge cases. Therefore, choose you by the voice of this people, judges, that you may be judged according to the laws which hath been given you by our fathers, which are correct, and which were given them by the hand of the Lord. You know, I'm one of those people that believes that the Constitution, in large part, was inspired by God. Not that those men, even though those men were extremely unusual in the history of the world that wrote that, approved that document and argued and talked over that Constitution. But God gave us that so that we could live freely. And now it says here, so I believe that that was given to us by the Lord. Now it is not common that the voice of the people desireth anything contrary to that which is right, but it is common for the lesser part of the people to desire that which is not right. Therefore this shall ye observe, and make it your law to do your business by the voice of the people. And if the time cometh that the voice of the people doth choose iniquity, then is the time that the judgments of God will come upon you. Yea, then is the time he will visit you with great destruction, even as he hath hitherto visited this land. You know, I don't know what's in our future, but I believe this particular scripture. I believe with all my heart that if the majority of people begin to choose what is actually wrong, we're living in a time when people don't want to be uncomfortable. They want the government to do things for them, to pay for them, to take care of them. And it could be a great danger for our country. But I'm going to finish by reading one verse. Back where I began in 1 Nephi chapter 5, I want to read what Nephi's response was to the things that were taking place in his own life and the struggles that he was undergoing. And I thank God that there have been people, and that there are families, that there are mothers and fathers, that there have been ministry and good people in so many places that have met the struggle, that haven't given up, that work and try and labor and strive to do the right thing and don't give up. But I'm going to read verse 83, Nephi's response, and this I will read in closing. Wherefore I, Nephi, did strive And I believe that means that it took some effort. It took some work. Did strive to keep the commandments of the Lord. And I did exhort my brethren to faithfulness and diligence. And that's where we are. May God bless you. Bless you in your prayers and your ability to love all mankind.